Sea Grant, and Lake Superior, sustaining the freshwater sea. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. The Apostle Islands, Sea Cave Safety and the Wave Sensor Project. In 1970, United States Senator Gaylord Nelson sponsored federal legislation that designated the Apostle Islands of Lake Superior as a national lakeshore, one of only four in the country. Located on the northernmost tip of Wisconsin, this remarkably beautiful national park is comprised of 21 islands of varying size and 12 miles of Lake Superior shoreline. The park has become an economic engine for the area, with tens of thousands of visitors making the long trek north every year to visit the seaside towns and historic lighthouses, hunt, fish, sail, scuba dive, hike and camp in the islands and in the forests, and otherwise enjoy the invigorating scenery of the Apostle Islands. One of the park's biggest attractions, however, has special appeal for kayakers. Sandstone sea caves, eroded by centuries of wave action, have undercut the cliff bases of many of the islands. Here, Lake Superior has been a sculptor, shaping the red sandstone into picturesque arches, passageways, and grottos that offer a rewarding and unique paddling challenge for experienced kayakers. Many come to Wisconsin and Lake Superior specifically to experience this adventurous combination of spelunking and water sports. The easiest way to view the sea caves, though, is to take one of the popular excursion cruises that originate from the port of Bayfield.
20,000 plus years ago, once the Laurentide ice sheet dissipated, the water dropped another 400 feet, and the rest of the islands came to the surface.
The ships wend their way through the many channels that separate the islands, giving visitors a visual treat and an appreciation for the immensity of Lake Superior, all the while learning scientific, cultural, and historical information about the area from the ship captains.
Off to our right in the distance, now that we're on the back side of Stockton Island. Ahead of us is Manitou, Manitou and Chippewamee Spirit. To the right of that is Kent Island. You can see Ironwood Island, named after the ironwood or lignum vita tree.
A 2-hour voyage should get you to the shores of Devil's Island, where the most spectacular formations can be seen.
It's all rough out here. Everybody needs to hang on. Now that we are in this large open area between the islands, you can see just a taste of what would to come. Been checking the buoy on our way out here, and it shows that the weather hasn't dissipated or subsided at all out on the open water. So we're probably gonna cut from here over to Raspberry. I don't think we're going to be able to go out and see the sea caves. You can see that these swells have grown. These are classified as 3 to 4 footers. And if we have 3 to 4 footers inside the islands, that's a guarantee that we're going to have double outside the islands.
Lake Superior is unpredictable and powerful, however, and even on a modern powered vessel, there is no guarantee that you will be able to successfully make the trip to Devil's Island. Attempting to effectively manage Superior's unpredictability around these sea caves has been a safety priority for the National Park Service. And to assist them, the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant has been developing a wave sensor to maximize kayaker safety and to sustain the tourism resource that the Apostle Islands represent for northern Wisconsin. UWC Grant's project leader on this has been Gene Clark, our coastal engineering specialist. We'll hear from Gene later in the series, but for this episode, I wanted to speak with Josh Anderson, a Sea Grant-funded graduate student who was directly involved in implementing this research.
I'm Josh Anderson, a PhD student here at UW-Madison, working with Chin Wu in the Water Resources Department. Over the last 3 years, I've been working on this wave sensor project in the Apostle Islands. The project started from a request by the National Park Service. I'm wondering if they could ever know the current wave conditions at the sea caves. They've had problems with kayakers going over, some deaths. And so they wanted more information in real time to be able to provide information to the kayaker. So the National Park Service wanted to know current wave information at the sea caves because they've had a couple kayakers over the last 5 years tip over and die in the park. And they've also had multiple rescues just from dangerous wave conditions at the caves. So what we've done at UW-Madison and working with Gene Clark at Sea Grant is developed a real-time wave system to display the waves on a website. And what we've done is we use a pressure sensor to measure the waves, and then we take advantage of cellular networks to transmit the data to UW-Madison for processing and then posting to the internet. The first year we developed the system and tested the reliability of the signal and found that it worked pretty well and that the system we designed could withstand the dangerous waves that are produced at the sea caves. In the second year, we implemented the system and we added a real-time camera, a security camera, that takes wave images every 30 minutes, and we also display the images to the website. So what we have currently in operation in year 3 is a system that measures waves every half an hour, and then also pictures that are reported every half an hour.
So if I was going to go kayaking up in the Apostle Islands, is that a big thing up there?
Kayaking is, from my viewpoint, from what I've seen, is probably the largest mode of transportation in the Apostle Islands. Sailing is very popular as well, but for the general public, I think the easiest mode of access to the lake is renting a kayak or bringing their own kayaks.
Have you done that yourself?
I have not. I feel so bad. I've been working on this project for 3 years, but I have not been able to get on the water in a kayak.
Well, you've been up in the Apostle Islands a lot. How does conservation and sustainability of Lake Superior, how does that help? Is tourism a big thing up there? Is the Apostle Islands Park a good thing for the area?
I believe that the national park is a very important part of the area. From my opinion, Bayfield sees a lot of its economics from tourism, and so it depends on a safe, reliable location and destination for people to come and enjoy the natural beauty of the area.
So you get to hike around the Apostle Islands as part of your job, right?
Yes, I've been able to hike the mainland sea cave route a lot in the last 3 years, probably 5 or 6 times, and it's a great hike. I recommend everybody to go out and see that.
Could you show us this wave sensor and describe it to us?
Sure. What we have here is 300 foot of cable pressure sensor. What we do is we dangle the cable off the 40-foot cliff. We traverse the bottom with the cable about 200 feet from the sea cave cliffs. So it's a 300-foot bulky system that we have to deal with. But in talking with the park, they really wanted to prevent any surface buoys or pollution to the natural beauty. So we had to construct a system that was as invisible as possible to visitors at the park.
So you wanted something as unobtrusive as possible so it wouldn't spoil the visual qualities of the park. It looks like a 300-foot mic cord with a thin metal cylinder at the end that's about 4 inches long. You wouldn't think it's a sensor. It reminds me of my hydrophones, and if it is like my hydrophones, those cables are the devil to wrap. Josh is nodding and smiling. What's it like putting this out in the field, or what's a typical day out there?
Deploying it is actually much easier than retrieving it. We've had, over the last 3 years, we've developed a pretty good system for deploying this, although the first couple times it was a pretty difficult procedure. Nowadays, we just attach the pressure sensor to the frame, and we drop it in the water, and then we run the cable to the cliff where somebody pulls the end up to the top of the cliff. And we can do this nowadays probably all in about 20 minutes.
Okay, so you've got this down. If I was a kayaker and heading up there, what would I do to find out about this? Is there a particular website I need to go to? Or?
There is a web page, but if you're a kayaker and you go to Myers Beach, which is where most people set into the water to go to the sea caves, There are multiple posters up displaying the link to our webpage, and the webpage is seacaveswatch.org.
One of the things we're doing in this podcast is emphasizing how Sea Grant really tries to support graduate students and help them become full-blown badass scientists. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, currently I'm in my third year as a PhD student. I've been a graduate student for, I think this is my sixth year now. Hopefully I'll plan on graduating sometime next year, but the role Sea Grant, I think, has had in my development for this project in particular has not been so much for research benefits, but more so for the public outreach and benefit for society. I think that this project's extremely important and has taught me more of the functionality of displaying information in real time in an easily readable format. I've definitely learned some scientific methods that I need to implement to produce waves. But I think from my standpoint, personally, this project is more beneficial for my public well-being, I guess. For the next phase of this project, hopefully starting in the spring of 2013, at Myers Beach, we'll be developing a real-time display to display the wave information. From years of experience, we've found that a lot of kayakers, the time it takes for them to check the website at home to travel to Myers Beach and then actually set in the water, the wave conditions can change. It takes about an hour, maybe 2 hours. So what we're doing is we're developing a real-time display at Myers Beach for kayakers to check the wave conditions right before they set in the water. And what we're gonna do is just develop a simple system with a computer monitor. We're gonna use cell phone lines to collect the data, and users will be able to walk up to this kiosk, power on the system, and check the waves before they set in the water.
You've been up to the Apostle Islands a lot. What's something that maybe most people wouldn't know about that area, or if people are curious about going, something they shouldn't miss?
I think in general, a lot of people, from what I've seen from my friends and family, people just don't know about the Apostle Islands at all. So I would recommend that everybody go up and see it. It's extremely beautiful. If you can get a boat ride or a kayak out to any of the islands and hike around, you will be in such a secluded area. You will just have such an appreciation for the natural beauty of Wisconsin and the area. If anybody goes up there, what they should definitely do is take a tour or a cruise through the Apostle Islands and get the general history and views of all the lighthouses and the different islands. But I really enjoy the mainland sea cave hike. It's probably the cheapest solution to seeing the park and the natural beauty. It's attached to the mainland, so it requires no water transportation. It's a nice 4-mile hike out to the sea caves.
Why do they call them the Unholy Apostles?
The Unholy Apostles? I have never heard that, actually. I would guess because it's very dangerous. And maybe that's why.
Shipwrecks, episode 3. Till next time.